I was talking with my middle son yesterday, and we were talking about preparing sermons, and he said he preferred that someone give him a topic so that it'd make it easier. He wouldn't have to choose. And I said, well, that doesn't always work for me. But this week, it's been more of a challenge to determine what I wanted to talk about. But there was a thought that came to my mind from some many years ago. When Darlene's father passed away or was passing away, and we were taking care of him at home, my son Tony was sitting with him one day. I don't know if it was in the evening or in the afternoon, but he was sitting with him, and I don't know exactly what all they were talking about. But my father-in-law said at that time that he should have loved more. And I wonder which of us couldn't really say that. Which of us couldn't say that we could love more than we have in the past? And as I've thought about that, it's a good thing to resolve to love more, isn't it? But I don't think we ought to wait until our life is over to do that. We need to start now so that we don't have any regrets. I think that's what he was talking about, regrets that he had had. And so I wanted to put together some thoughts about loving more. In the Thessalonian letter in chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians, and in verse 9, Paul writes, "Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need of no one to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." You see, they were taught to love by God, to love one another. And where did that teaching come from? But from God Himself. He is the example. He is the ultimate example. In fact, one of the songs that Tony just led, song 752, the last phrase in that song is, "Learning all the might that lies in a full self-sacrifice." Giving yourself. That's what love is really about. And that's God's own example, isn't it? John 3 and verse 16. "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Is that not probably the verse that the world knows best? If there is one particular verse. To love God because He loved us. What a wonderful thing to do. In writing to the Romans in chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, "For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." And if you drop down to verse 8, he says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Just contemplate that. And then look at your own life and the love that you have for others. One of the things we've been talking about a little bit in the Romans class and personally in different little groups that we've gotten, that I've been involved in at least, is about saving the lost. And isn't that what this is really all about? Saving the lost. Jesus went to the cross. God sent Him from heaven to become a man so that He could save the lost. Save us. His example of love should encourage us to resolve to love more than we have in the past. We know love because He first loved us. I think that was a phrase in just the last song we sang, wasn't it? But that's found in 1 John 4. In verse 10 and 11, he says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And in verse 19, he says, we love because he first loved us. We know what love is because God has already demonstrated his love for us. We should resolve to love more because God had loved us to such a degree. In 1 John 3 and verse 16, John writes, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I remember a song when I was probably in my teenage years. And one of the phrases in it said that the love makes the world go round. I begin to wonder now if the world has stopped going round. Don't you? I have heard so much hatred spewed, at least in the last 4 years of the last 5 years, that I've basically stopped listening to the news altogether. I'm just tired of it. It makes me angry. I'm disgusted with it. I'm almost disgusted to be called an American because of the hatred that is spewed out of the mouths not only of just our politicians, but I even hear hateful things being said by those who claim to be Christians. How is that possible? It ought not to be this way. We really ought to think about what we're saying before we say it. Are these appropriate words that ought to be said? We've been taught by God to love, and we need to love one another fervently. I do believe that we are a part of a congregation here that does love and care about each other. And I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to be a part of that. I'm truly thankful for it. But you see, there's another reason that we ought to love one another, because God, and that we ought to be resolved to love more, is because God has commanded us to love one another. In John 13 and verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, and that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I want you to think about what these two verses say. He's given us a command. He gave his disciples a command to love one another. But notice the qualifying phrases that go along with it. As I have loved you. We just talked about that, didn't we? God's own example sets us up. Here is how we are to love one another. And notice the results of having this kind of love there in verse 11. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. All people will know that you are Christians because of the love that you have for each other. In John 15 and verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. In verse 17, he says, this I command you, that you love one another. I was just thinking about this before I came up here this morning. Well, I think I was thinking about this at home, actually. That there is one theme throughout the entirety of the Bible that is, I guess I would call, the major theme of the Bible. Well, one of the major themes of the Bible. And that's about love. You find it mixed through the Scriptures from beginning to end. Although the word may not appear there, that idea, that aspect of things is certainly permeated throughout the entirety of the Scriptures. In 2 John 5, John writing to one of the individuals, I don't know whether this is a particular woman or it's a particular congregation, it really doesn't matter. He says, "And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have heard or have had from the beginning, that you love, that we love one another." That command has to be fulfilled in the manner that as I have loved you. Jesus gave himself. Galatians 1 and verses 3 and 4 says, "And the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." God has demonstrated his great love in giving Jesus Christ. To Paul in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I think emphasizes what it is to be a Christian and to love others. When he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives, or no longer is it I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me." If I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, then my goal should be to love in the same manner that he did. Paul, writing to the Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, says that we're to be imitators of God as beloved children. Imitators. Children love to imitate their parents. Love to imitate other people. See it all of the time. They want to be like. In fact, I remember as a young man wanting to be like my dad. We are to be imitators of God. And God is love. That should exude from me. Everyone should know that I love and care about them all. Now that's what I say. When I stopped watching a lot of this news stuff, because I was ready for a lot of people to be taken care of. And I say that sadly, because that's a shameful way of feeling. These people need to be saved. They need to realize. They need to realize that God is going to call them into judgment. Like Alan was saying in class, if you had the opportunity to shake their hand, to just to speak with them for a moment, you have the opportunity, possibly, to change their eternal destiny. Wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want that opportunity? That's what the love of God in us is to do. That's why God has commanded it of us, and that it be like his love for us. In fact, Ephesians 5 and verse 25 in particular says that Jesus gave himself for us, for the church. He died so that he could preserve us eternally. We are also commanded to stimulate each other to love and good deeds in Hebrews 10 and verse 24. He says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." That word stimulate means to encourage interest in or the activity of a person in something. To encourage the development or to increase activity in something. So we are to encourage and increase the activity of each other in love and good deeds. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning. Encourage us to love more. To care about the lost more. Cause a person to be excited about something. Be excited about loving others. About seeing someone who hasn't been very kind to you. go to heaven. That's what love is all about. That's the kind of love God has had for us. And we are to abound in this love. And I believe that that is the idea of overflowing in love. In fact, it says the definition of abound is to exist in large numbers or amounts. Yes, to overflow. I'm to be overflowing in love. We are to be overflowing in love. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12, Paul writes, may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we also do for you. Notice, it's not just to abound, but to increase and abound. Keep overflowing in love. Keep it going. In fact, we should love because we have been born of God. In 1 John 4, part of the reading this morning, I want you to notice with me just some of the things that are said here in this passage. A wonderful passage, and I appreciate Orlando reading that morning for us. They're beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That says something about us, doesn't it? It certainly does. Can people see that I'm born of God? By the love that I've shown in my life? The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God is manifest in us. It's demonstrated. That's what he's saying. It's demonstrated in us. That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. If God so loved us, that's not an if, is it? The Bible clearly indicates that it's not an if. God did love us. God does love us. Therefore, we also must love one another if we're really going to call ourselves the disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's through this love that we are to serve one another. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Be careful how you use your freedoms. Again, something Alan was talking about in class this morning, wasn't it? We have a lot of freedoms in this country. But do we abuse them to the point that we are not the Christian that we should be? We need to be very careful. God loved us to save us, that we might love others to save them. Not that we were going to die and they were going to be forgiven because of our death. Not that. But the fact that we would share the gospel. That we would cover a multitude of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the work that we ought to be doing. That is, in fact, is that not the purpose of the church? We talk about, or I've heard it said, at least maybe I should say, that the church is a hospital for sinners. Y'all are in the hospital because you are ill. You have some illness. that needs to be gotten rid of. It's called sin. Jesus is the great physician. I don't know who the nurses are. Maybe we are all the nurses working to make sure we get all the medicine that everybody needs. Maybe that's a good way of looking at it. I don't know. But it's something worth our thought. And it's because we love people that we do these things. And one last thing that I noticed in Romans 13, and I noticed that this morning in our class. There in verse 8, there is one debt that we can never pay off. We are to never owe any man anything. But there's one thing that we can never pay that debt of, and that's love. He says in verse 8 of chapter 13 in Romans, owe nothing to any man except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And what was it, the greatest, when Jesus is asked about the greatest commandment in the world, or in the law, what was it? To love God? And the second was like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the fulfillment of the law. Because when you love, you're going to obey. You're going to do the things that God would have you do. You're going to be the kind of person. You're going to remove sin from your life. You're going to share the gospel because you care about people going to heaven and not to hell. I have been associated with the church for 67 years. And in that time, I have seen wonderful things and I've seen ugly things. Things that ought not to be a part of the body of Christ. And it's because love was not what it should have been. And so I ask you this morning, will you begin now to put forth the effort to love more? So that when you come to the end of your life, you will not be saying, I should have loved more. Don't forget, our love must be at the same time in the same way the Lord has loved us. If you're not a Christian this morning, we would clearly encourage you to become one because there is nothing greater you could do for yourself or for those you care about than to be a Christian. If you are already one and you aren't what you need to be, we would encourage you to correct that today and make your life right as we stand to sing the song that was selected.